Railroad stations still exist in many towns in our region. In many cases, like in Roseburg and Medford, for example, they're used for something else, like restaurants. The days when railroads and passenger trains were central to American society are generally behind us, but we still appear to like trains just fine. Witness the crowds that flock to the Medford Armory every Thanksgiving weekend for the annual Rogue Valley Railroad Show. Several railroad hobby groups band together for the show. Tony Johnson is with the Southern Oregon Live Steamers and a member of the Rogue Valley Railroad Show Committee, and he's our guest in the studio here on the Jefferson Exchange. Tony, welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Good being here.
Rather than ask why so many other people like trains, why do you like trains? What you got you interested in the first place?
It was probably after my mother dropped me on my head at 4 years of age, I guess. I don't know. It's just one of those things. Even my parents, they couldn't figure, well, why does he like trains? Well, I guess it's like people like stamp collecting or so on. There was nobody in our family that ever worked for a railroad other than my grandfather was with the railway battalion in France in 1918.
That's a pretty tenuous connection. But yeah. Did you grow up near railroad tracks or something?
No, really? No. I grew up in San Francisco, and I got my first wind-up train set my four-year-old birthday, you know, and I liked it, and it just blossomed from there.
Are you ever amazed by the staying power of railroads in the American imagination? I mean, given the fact that in the Amtrak era, not many of us ride trains or as many as used to. I know the numbers are coming up year by year.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, most people are not around trains that often, and yet still this fascination exists.
Yeah, it's. I guess it's one of those things that we debate about for a long time. But even at the railroad park, where we realized that we're two generations away from people who dealt with railroads in an everyday business. So when, like, people come in and tour the caboose, we just don't say this is a caboose and expect people to know what it is. We have to explain what it is. And so we realized that. And like you said, it's amazing that that people still have a fondness for railroads to some degree. And, of course, Christmas really brings it out because everybody pictures a train set going around the Christmas tree.
They really do, but I hadn't even thought about that part of it. We are a generation removed from anybody who remembers what a caboose was for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very much so.
Which was where the crew stayed at the back end of the freight train.
Right, right.
Now they're all in the cab.
Yes.
So you mentioned Railroad Park. Just so folks know who are not from the Medford area, what is the Railroad Park all about?
Okay, the Medford Railroad Park, we've been open 33 years, and it's very unique park. Number one, it's the only railroad park in the United States that has five different railroad groups that operate together. We've never charged for admissions. We don't charge for train rides. And it gets busy. Last year, we slumped a little bit because of hot weather and so on. But on average, our trains carry about 36,000 people a year during those 14 Sundays. And then on top of that, you can have train parties at the park. And this year, we set a record with 137 parties. In fact, we got one for December 6th. So.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. That's the people who go to other railroad parks, they like ours because, one, okay, they ride the trains and other places, that would be it, and then you go home. But you've got four other clubs to admire and wander around. And, of course, again, it's not costing you anything.
So the trains they ride are kiddie-sized trains, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I know you probably hate that terminology, but it is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a 7.5-inch gauge, so the scale is 1.5 inches to the foot. But everybody rides a train. We've had people 98, 99 years old ride the trains, and we even have a separate train, Thomas the Train, that we built, I guess, about 7 years ago. And so little kiddies can ride that, although they can ride the big trains, too.
All right, so 33 years at the railroad park. The actual railroad show is in its 37th incarnation now, so it actually predates the railroad park.
Yes, it does. It started off being invited to set up little model trains at the American Red Cross for the first 2 years. And then the opportunity came for why not having it at the armory, and the slot was open, and so it just started then. And of course, there was a lot more room, and clubs started bringing in their model railroad layouts and displays, and so it is the one big fundraiser for the railroad park each year. So any proceeds are divided equally amongst all the clubs, and those funds are specifically used for improvements to the Medford Railroad Park.
And so this is why people don't have to pay admission costs over the course of the 14 weekends you mentioned.
Right, right.
They do pay for the parties, I'm thinking.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Tony Johnson's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's with the Southern Oregon Live Steamers and the Rogue Valley Railroad Show Committee. We're talking about the railroad show coming up at the Medford Armory this weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday, and the big setup on Friday. You can join us here in the Jefferson Exchange to talk about the railroad show, but also to talk about railroads more generally, if you'd like. You get the right person here to talk about them with Tony Johnson. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. That's around the listening area, 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So in addition to the Southern Oregon Live Steamers, who else are the other clubs involved with the park and the railroad show?
Okay, the Rogue Valley Model Railroad Club, which is H.O. Gage Trains. They have a if anybody hasn't been to the railroad park, they should see their layout. It's just absolutely beautiful. Then there's the Medford Garden Railroaders, which is Outdoor Garden Railroads. Again, another world-class outfit. The Morse Telegraph Club, which uses Railroad Morse code to transmit free messages at the railroad park. And then the Southern Oregon Historic, I'm sorry, because we changed our name.
Right.
Southern Oregon Historical, no,
Southern Oregon Railway Historical Society.
Railway Historical Society, yeah.
Which is still affiliated with the National Railway Historical
Society. Right, yes, it's still affiliated with the NRHS, and that's the big train people, where we're restoring a 70-ton steam locomotive, but you can climb the cabooses, we have a museum, etc.
How has the attendance been at the railroad show over the years? I mean, given the fact that, you know, as a rail buff myself, I get Trains Magazine and Classic Trains as well, so I'm aware of the fact that the ranks are thinning over time of people who can take active part in the hobby, because we're getting old.
Yeah.
But what's the attendance been like at the railroad show for years now?
It's pretty much been in the neighborhood of 4,500, 5,000 people for the 2 days, which is pretty good. We have to fight now because we have the Walmart took a lot of land from the armory that was kind of overflow parking, so we had to adapt. So we actually have people pointing to where they can park in front of motels and so on. We've already got permission, you know, from these outfits to do that, and so that's one way to keep people from just driving by and saying, "Oh, there's no parking place," and then taking off.
I mean, I noticed that, by the way. I stopped over last weekend for the Clay Folk Show at the Medford Armory, and a lot of additional parking that needs to be used over in the Walmart's lot now.
Yeah, and we're going to sort of suffer next year too, because the we always use the overflow parking lot at the railroad park, which is basically the training center for the fire district. Well, that fire station is going to go through a complete rebuild, and so that area of the park is going to be closed off to us, and so it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Absolutely. Grab your headphones. We got a call for you. Let's talk to Eileen and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about trains and the Rogue Valley Railroad Show with Tony Johnson.
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jeff, I'm 80 years old, and I grew up in rural Kansas with the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe coming through our town. When I heard the word caboose and that you thought people didn't know it anymore, it just kind of hit me with shock. Everyone in my family knows it because my brother and I rode that train, that old freight train, with cattle and wheat cars. We rode in the caboose to our piano less than 10 miles once a week. And we had a conductor back there in that caboose, and we two were never always the only passengers, we loved that experience, and it was a wonderful little caboose. The train is my favorite transportation of all time, and now that I live in Eugene, where I can go to Seattle and Portland and other points, I ride the train whenever I can. I mean, it's not a thing of the past. I think it's maintaining the rails. If the federal government maintained the rails like they maintain the freeways, and we put our freight back on the rails and as many people as possible, I think that infrastructure is less damaging to the environment than all these freeway clover leaves.
All right, Eileen, how did that come about? That you got the ride of this freight train? I mean, how did the ride in the freight train caboose come about?
Piano lesson.
Okay, but I mean, the railroad let people ride in the caboose?
Well, that's what the caboose was for. It was the passenger.
Huh. All right. Well, thanks for the story. Appreciate it. And thanks for your love of trains and for conveying that to us on the Jefferson Exchange. That's an interesting story. She always got a caboose ride.
That wasn't really uncommon, especially on branch lines, where if you look in old timetables, it would say mixed, and that was combination of freight and passenger. And, of course, there certainly was a slow schedule because, if they stopped to let off a grain car or some elevator, well, you just had to just grin and bear it. But that was very common back then.
There were mixed trains right up until Amtrak. Come to think of it, there might have actually been mixed trains after Amtrak. I understand the Soo Line in Michigan used to let people ride in cabooses or were required by the state of Michigan to do so for a few years.
Yes, very much so. But, yeah, Amtrak is, their ridership keeps growing every year. And, of course, they have to fight the federal government for funding and so on. As far as the freight railroads, they're busier than any other time in their history, even, more busy than World War II. In fact, they have a capacity problem, and so they're trying to address that. So in places where it used to be single track, it's now double track, and in places just triple track. And with the Christmas rush coming up, of course, they started that in September.
Right. All the goods moving across the country. Tony Johnson's our guest on the Jefferson Exchanges with the Southern Oregon Live Steamers and as a member of the Rogue Valley Railroad Show Committee. We're talking about the railroad show coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at the Medford Armory, and talking about trains a little more generally, as you just heard from Eileen. Share your story if you have one about railroads. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So it is interesting that there are two trends going on here. I mean, the people who used to ride trains as their primary form of transportation now, not as numerous in the age of the airline. Your airline's your first choice for a long-distance trip when at one time it was trains.
Sure.
But you're right. I mean, Amtrak's numbers keep climbing every year, so more people are riding passenger trains.
I mean, there's more trains between San Diego and Los Angeles than there ever was any time in their history because you have to get to an airport 2 hours before your departure. Well, you could go half the distance between Los Angeles and San Diego during those 2 hours, and so they have a capacity problem. They're trying to double-track some of that line so they could add more trains because, it fits a niche.
It does indeed, and particularly on the East Coast where Amtrak has the high-speed Acela trains able to ride between Washington and Boston.
Yeah.
And the amount of time you'd spend going to the airports in either one of the endpoint cities and then getting back to downtown, you can get there pretty much about the same amount of time on a train.
Yeah.
What are some of the major features at the railroad show this year? What are some of the things that the must-sees of this or any railroad show?
Well, there's several ways to look at it. One, we have, of course, naturally our local railroad clubs will have either exhibits or operating model railroads, but then we have some from other areas of Oregon, and this is going to be all different gauges, everything from the smallest, the Z gauge to N gauge to HO gauge, Lionel, and so on. So that's something. Operation Lifesaver will be there again. We also are blessed here in the Rogue Valley because there's three internationally known model railroad manufacturers. You had KD out in White City, Micro Trains Line in Talent, and Campbell Scale Products out in Central Point. And like I said, they're not just nationally known, they're internationally known, and they're right here in the Rogue Valley. And so they have displays, and you can find out all the latest things that they've got online, and really nice people. And in fact, the KD basically founded the Medford Railroad Park. So there's a nice connection there. And then upstairs you have vendors. I don't know how many vendors. It's an overflow. We've got vendors downstairs too this year. And you can buy anything from railroad books to T-shirts to that missing train car that you've been looking for. Or if you say, gee, my uncle Ned left me this Lionel, what's it worth? Well, they can tell you. And same thing with our historical society. We said, well, gee, I've got this picture of my brother who worked for the Southern Pacific. Can you tell me anything about it? And, we can help.
Well, there's a whole bunch of resources there.
Yeah.
So it's not just about looking at trains and buying, but also to get stuff, information about the things you already have.
Yeah. With the live steamers, and of course, we will have three locomotives on display. And, of course, we can't do it without having Thomas there. And
Thomas the Tank Engine.
We have a Thomas the Tank Engine that we use at the park, and we have to have a towel there to wipe off everybody all the kids kissing it and hugging it. I wish we got a dime for every photo that was taken with a kid in front of that. We'd be rich.
Oh, that is amazing. You can't run the live steamers, I'm guessing, indoors.
No,
in the...
but actually in the early days in the Armory, they actually did run live steam trains in a loop inside the Armory. But that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good crowd. It sounds like the place stays pretty packed. I mean, I haven't been there in a couple of years myself, but it sounds like you get a good throng in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very much so. And I always think about it as when I grew up in San Francisco in the 50s and the 60s, that Christmas started the day after Thanksgiving when Santa came down riding on top of the cable car, and then he got off and walked across to the Emporium. And same thing here. People think of Christmas season starting with the railroad show. You know, it's just right after Thanksgiving, and voila.
What's that Friday like, the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday for the rest of the world, and setup day for you guys at the Medford Armory for the railroad show? I've been there before. It's really busy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, very much so. We've done it for so long that it's sort of like orchestrated, and so we have the bigger displays coming in first, the live steamers and so on, and plus we have a tremendous amount of volunteers who come, and we have show jobs. Each club's is assigned show jobs, so maybe a vendor comes in and says, where do I go? And they have a packet with all the information, and then somebody to take them up and show them where his tables are. The Boy Scouts, we have the Boy Scouts who come and help bring tables upstairs and so on.
Yep. And then 2 hours to tear down on Sunday, is that right?
Yep.
Wow. All right, so Saturday 10 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4, the railroad show at the Medford Armory, the Rogue Valley Railroad Show. It looks like $5 admission for adults. And ages 6 to 12, $1. And 5 and under, free with an adult.
Yep.
Tony Johnson, thanks so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thank you.
Railroad show again at the Medford Armory, Saturday and Sunday.